Good morning and welcome to the Marcus Today Pre-Market Podcast. My name is Henry Jennings. It is Monday, the 27th of March. And as always, with all the information contained in this podcast, it is general advice only. So please do your own research. Contact your own financial advisor regarding any of the thoughts, ideas, or insights in this podcast. All right, well, let's kick off today with, as usual, the scores on the doors. We have the Dow Jones closing up 132 points, or 0.41%, 32,238. It was had a high of 152 points up and a low of 300 points down. Bit of a wobble early on the back of some European problems. We have the NASDAQ up 0.31%, 37 points to 11,824. And the S&P 500 cruising up 22 points, or 0.56%. Beat both of them. No middle for diddle for that one. 39.71, approaching that 4,000 level again. And the VIX volatility index closed down 3.2% to 21.88. Our SPY futures showing a pretty ho-hum kind of start to the week. Down 3 points, 69.80. This follows the 13-point fall on Friday, where we did see a little bit of positivity creeping in as the day wore on. Over in Europe, though, it was a little bit of a different tale. We did have more spooking of the situation in Europe's banking industry, with Deutsche Bank now firmly in the seller's sights. The Stoxx 600 was down 1.4%, FTSE was down 1.3%, Germany down 1.7%, France down 1.7%, Spain down 2%. Looking at some of the European banks, Deutsche was the target. It always has been, I guess, the target after Credit Suisse, and Deutsche has had its share of problems over the last few years and is undergoing what they call a restructure, a strategic review, etc., but certainly a change in focus for Deutsche. They were down 8.5%, UBS down 3.6%, Barclays in the UK down 4.2%, HSBC down 2.6%, and Lloyd's down 2.4%. Looking at US stocks, though, on Friday, Apple 0.83 better, Meta 0.85 better, Google down 0.15, Microsoft up 1%, Amazon down 0.6, Tesla down 0.9, Netflix continuing to get a little bit of positivity creeping into its share price, up 2.5% on the back of the password changes that they are enacting in Canada. We saw the banks in the US a little bit under pressure, but nothing too drastic. JP Morgan down 1.5%, Citigroup down 0.8%, Goldman down 0.7%, Bank of America up 0.6%, Wells Fargo down 1%, Block still having some problems with Hindenburg, down 1.9% there. Looking across at bond yields, US 10 years, 3.376, down a smidge, 2.8 basis points. The 2 years, 3.775, 3.1 basis points easier. And the Aussie 10-year at the moment, 3.23. We did see Bitcoin come off around 1.5%. The Aussie dollar, 66.48. And the US dollar index was up 0.6%. So not so good for some of the commodities, as we did see Brent crude fall another 0.5%. WTI down 0.9%, 65 cents to $69.02 US dollars a barrel. Gold price came off a little bit as well, $16.50 down 0.8%, 1976.5, and the platinum price down 0.6%. Looking at the LME prices, we had copper down 1.1%, nickel continuing to push higher. It is very volatile, nickel up 4.5%, aluminium unchanged, zinc down 0.5%, lead nothing, and tin up 2.1%. Iron ore on Friday was down 0.5%, Dalian iron ore futures down 0.7%, and lithium once again under a little bit of pressure, down 2.8%. Looking at mining stocks in overseas trade, we had BHP up 0.9%, Rio up 0.1%, Freeport-McMoRan up 0.6%, Alcoa down 0.4%, Teck down 0.1%, Anglo down 1.9%, Glencore down 2%, Albemarle up 1%, and in overseas trade, CBA was down 1.4% there. So we are looking at a pretty cautious start after the events over the weekend, and it was very much the German bank Deutsche was in focus. That was triggered by the credit default swaps, which jumped, but without an apparent catalyst. The move appeared to raise concerns about the health of the European banking industry, and certainly that was the epicenter of the issue, and that was the big problem. But we did see the US market swoon a little bit to start with, and then they closed better. They did see a bounce back in the regional banks, with this SPIDER S&P Regional Banking ETF gaining 3%, and the KRE, which is that Regional Banking ETF index, ended the week up 0.2%. So despite all the ructions, that regional banking index, or the whole banking index, actually was up in the US. Not such good news, though, of course, in Europe. And we did see a plethora of European talking heads and leaders talking about the banking sector. Olaf Scholz, who is the German Chancellor, told reporters they had another EU summit. It's always good to have an EU summit every weekend. Deutsche Bank is a profitable business with no reasons for concern. President Macron also told reporters in Brussels that the banking system is solid. And the ECB President Christine Lagarde said the euro area is resilient because it has strong capital and solid liquidity positions. And the IMF chief on Sunday said the risks to financial stability have increased and called for economic vigilance. Although actions by advanced economies have calmed market stress, she reiterated her view that 2023 would be another challenging year, with global growth slowing to below 3% due to scarring from the pandemic, the war in Ukraine, and monetary tightening. We also had over the weekend the ANZ chief Shayne Elliott talking about the current instability in the global financial system as the modern version of a savings and loan crisis. That was something that hit the US banking system in the 1980s. He said the GFC was fundamentally a crisis around the quality of assets and the loans that banks make. And that's not what the risk is here. This is a different issue. This is really to do with the global war on inflation and how central banks are raising rates very quickly in order to combat that. And that has casualties. In local news out today, Tyro Payments and Potentia Capita are in talks regarding a binding bid at around $1.70 a share. CBA is exploring the acquisition of ScotPac, carrying out due diligence. ScotPac is a business finance solutions company for small and medium-sized enterprises at various situations. So that would fit in with CommBank's business lending side of things. The Bank of Queensland has appointed Patrick Alloway as MD and CEO and Warwick Negus as chairman. And Ampol is to temporarily reduce Lytton refining operations due to maintenance. The impact of the outage on EBIT is expected to be around $30 to $50 million. And multiple parties appear to be interested in BHP Group's Daunia and Blackwater coal mines, according to the press. And Chalice, big week for Chalice this week. They are expected to announce a resource update this week, and certainly that is going to be a big week for them. Chalice is expected to post its resource update for Gonneville, which at July 2020 numbers was about 2 million tonnes of nickel equivalent, or about 20 million ounces of palladium equivalent. So that is going to be interesting. There's a few big shareholders there waiting, I'm sure, for that one. The Brookfield-led consortium that looks like they're flying into Australia to agree the acquisition of Origin Energy, which was expected to be acquired this week. Two of the bigwigs are about to hit the road to sell the benefits of their joint ownership of Origin, Brookfield as well. $8.90 is the indicative bid at the moment. Brookfield proposing to take Origin's electricity and gas retailing arm and generation assets, while EIG would buy its stake in the AP LNG gas project in Queensland. In other news today, Synlait First half profit has dropped 83% to 4.8 million New Zealand dollars. Revenue dropped 3% to 769.8 million New Zealand dollars, while EBITDA dropped 25% to 51.5 million New Zealand dollars. The full year net profit guidance range was set at 15 to 25 million dollars there. In other news this morning, Westgold Resources has provided a drilling update from Great Fingal Deposit at Q in WA. And we have also seen GPR, Geopacific Resources, has issued a corporate update there. And Chalice, also just speaking about Chalice, there's a little bit of an announcement out. It's entered into agreement, into a farm-in agreement with Platina Resources for an initial 51% interest in the Mount Narrier project for $600,000. I think there's more to come in terms of news for Chalice later this week. And it looks like the Healius bid by Australian Clinical Laboratories is in trouble. The two largest shareholders, Perpetual and John Wiley's Tanara Capital, are big shareholders in that one. They certainly are not in the mood for a takeover from the smaller ACL. Perpetual owns 12.5% and Tanara Capital, which owns 8.7%, both saying it's a lowball price for Healius. So not going to happen at those prices currently. And lastly, Nitro Software has confirmed Potentia obtains more than a 75% stake and has provided an update on its cash position and a potential equity raising. All right, well, that's it for me today. Monday could be a bit of a slow, quiet, convictionless day today with that 3-point fall in the SPY. So nothing very exciting to go on, but certainly the volatility to the downside we saw in Europe was placated by that upside we saw in the US. So that continues to be a theme. Banking sector, obviously, the epicenter at the moment of the nervous investor. Question of the day today: do you think the media is responsible or partly responsible or certainly involved in the stoking of the fears in the banking sector and the pile-on that we've seen? Is this partly the media trying to whip up a frenzy, or is the crisis in banking a real thing that we should be very scared about? Well, that's it from me today. Thanks very much for listening. Have a great day, and as always, may the trading gods be with you.